We have just a couple of board members left on the stack, Rob Robinson, Lonnie, and Ambrose. Rob?
Thank you very much, and I'd like to also acknowledge the long-suffering labors of Bernard White through thick and thin times at WBAI, and I'd like to thank Robert Scott Adams for his tenure in this period. I've got a couple of very quick questions for Anthony. Anthony, I think you've been able to figure out that while we have a culture of diversity, there seems to be a great deal of conflict when it comes to gaining access to our local station microphones and sharing power. We're not unique in that regard, but we do espouse very, very progressive standards. And so one of the things that I would suggest to you is that you consider some ongoing training involving anti-racism in dealing with conflict avoidance and conflict resolution so that those things can become inculcated into our community here. Right now, our community believes in many of the same ideals, but when the issues are power or getting to the microphone, we kind of drop, you know, our nobler impulses. And one of the groups that was brought to the PNB about a year and a half ago was the Institute for Survival in the 21st Century and Beyond, which did a wonderful presentation. But I would ask that you look to groups like that as possibilities for ongoing training, so not just board members and people in governance, but the volunteers that produce the programming, the volunteer staff, the unpaid staff, as well as the paid staff, experience the same sort of interaction in hope that we can create a better culture than we have now, and we all suffer from this. The question I really would like to ask you is, when we interviewed you before, I was very impressed with your experience in going after foundations and grantors. And I'm curious if you could talk a little bit about how we as an organization might use foundations and grant agencies whose philosophies are synonymous with Pacifica's as a way of developing our assets at the local stations. Just a few words, if you could.
Well, thank you. And I think the comment about conflict resolution is probably a good thing. And just dealing with that for just a second, it seems like one of the important things that's going to have to happen is I'm going to have to understand exactly how the rules were intended to work here, how they're written, how everybody, what they are, and then see where they're not being followed. And I'm not talking about, you know, like, I'm talking about the way that the boards and the staff and the public all deal with each other. And I don't want to get into a big mess here, but for instance, with the whole thing about the ballots and the election and so forth, it seems to me that there ought to be a governing rule about what happens if ballots don't make it out on time or whatever, and that if there's not, then that rule needs to be in place. And in the meantime, the people who are involved on both sides of the issue ought to be able to do something on a temporary basis that's trusting of each other, knowing that these things are going to be worked out. There's going to be problems from time to time, but there ought to be a clear rule governing. Even if the problem crops up, the rule should govern later.
Okay.
With regard to funding, I come a little bit from the God bless the child who's got his own school. And I know that having worked with funders before, one of the things that they do look at is, do you have support from your constituent base, which is something that you're always having to struggle with, so it probably seems like a problem to you. But it's really like one of the shining lights of the whole foundation is that so much of your support is not from foundations, so much of it is from the people who are actually listening. Having worked with the access community and not really been in a position to get funding from foundations all the time, one of the things that I've seen since the advent of the internet, just as a metaphor, is a lot of times you can create a resource which is so widely used and so widely desired that you can figure out a revenue stream to associate with that that really represents no cost to the user because it's so low and still can represent significant income. And so when I look at foundations, I would be looking, and things may change, but just offhand, I would be looking to getting support for mechanisms that take advantage of your assets that you have. The archives are a tremendous asset. And obviously, you know, what I heard earlier, people are really recognizing that. And so when you look at, you don't necessarily look at money for operating support. You look at money that can seed setting up a situation where your brand name, you know, which is Pacifica, which people come to because they're looking for something specific that they can't get anywhere else, becomes something that can spread beyond just your radio listener base to a wide variety of people that need the information that you're already developing, you know, through the radio programs and so forth. So, in other words, I think, you know, there's a way to leverage what you have to get support for creating ongoing mechanisms of funding that aren't dependent on the funders.
Okay. Lonnie, do you have a comment? Still? You pass. Okay. Ambrose.
Brother Riddle, I served on another search committee, and we produced you and another person as a finalist. But thank God there was another search committee that's more brilliant than ours who not only chose you, but made sure that you were selected. Welcome to Pacifica.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to thank our friends from WBAI and members of the public. We're going to take a break for lunch now. It's 12:33, so we will reconvene at 1:33.